Welcome to the Project Joy radio show. And Sherry, are you there? Good morning.
I am. Good morning, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, good morning. Another grand day on the planet.
Yes, it is.
It appears.
It would appear so, yes. We have no evidence of not.
Exactly. To the contrary, nothing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's jump in. Here's our quote and assignment for the call. Never give up and never face the facts. Ruth Gordon. Today, notice what lies you've been taught to believe are facts. Ask yourself regularly throughout the day, is that true? How do I know that's true? Each time you ask yourself this question, turn on the recorder and record your response. Reminder, if you hear a negative rant along the lines of course that's true, you can know you're not listening to the wisdom, love, and compassion animating you.
That's good, isn't it? That just kind of sums up our whole little project.
The whole shooting match right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, well, let's check in with our first caller.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Chris. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey. Oh, you know, I just love when I connect with a program, I just start smiling right away. It's so great. Thank you so much. And I just have had the best time practicing with this particular piece yesterday. And I wrote, "Is that so?" on my hand to keep it in the front of my consciousness throughout the day.
Oh, very good, huh?
Mm-hmm. And because it's, I forget that all the time. And so it's such a good reminder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do forget. Yeah.
It's amazing.
The nature of that unconscious habit, huh?
It is. And it's so much my experience that I would say all of what conditioning says is a lie, is not true, and it is shocking how I need to.
Yeah. How often we lose sight of that fact.
And I can see that happening in the reaction, you know, so I'll notice the thought and then I'll notice the reaction. And, you know, maybe it's that I really don't buy into it or not. As I'm speaking about it, you know, I could just be the awareness that's noticing it all. But sometimes it feels like I am identified with the reaction, but, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And that's such an important subtle point, Karen. So that being dragged into a conversation, figuring it out, knowing, just leads us right to the same place, right? Because what we know is we can't know, and there's nobody to know it. So let's not go down that cul-de-sac.
And that's the liberating thing, because it would only be conditioning that would tell me or make an assessment of what's going on.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly so. Rather than what's available to us, which is that subtle informing that comes from that deeper place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, when we say everything that condition says, conditioning says is a lie, conditioned mind in a lot of folks will say, well, that's not true. I mean, there are some things that I would think about that conditioned mind believes or assumes that really are true. And the fact is they're not. Because even though something might be so in a particular moment, it's not happening now. It's something that is being dragged into a moment where it doesn't exist so that I can hold that belief, which, again, is a pretty subtle place, but But as soon as we start looking at it, we realize, well, actually, that is my experience.
It is. It is so much my experience, and it's just such an exciting piece of awareness. I mean, it's just such an exciting place to be able to tap into.
Yes, that we can actually just be where we are with absolute trust that whatever we need will be given to us.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. if you need to, I actually just had like six of those in a row this morning where I was getting ready to do something and it just drops in. Da, da, da. And so I do that thing. And then I say thank you, because if I had been caught in conditioned mind, I would have not done that thing. I would have forgotten that thing. I would have walked off and left that thing. But because there was just that constant da-da-da-da, it's all there. I got everything I needed. I remembered to do everything. And we're always being guided like that. We don't know that all the time because we're not present, not because we're not being guided.
Yes, and when I see for myself is even though I'm not aware of a conversation, when I'm distracted, So if I'm forgetful or now I'm really losing what I'm trying to say.
But you're doing such a great job of demonstrating it, right? Because when we get distracted, which is what just happened,
yeah.
right? Your attention got pulled to you got distracted, and so what was there in awareness right before that moment was no longer available. So what we learn to do is just stop and realize, ooh, I got distracted there. I wasn't here. Take a breath.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's back. It's not
and
actually
what
back. It's still here.
Yes. And whatever it was that was distracting me and what I was pointing to is that I didn't even know what it was. It's just that the process of distraction was happening.
Yes. Exactly so.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because there's nothing wrong, and because there's no such thing as mistakes, we just get to watch the process get clearer about it and not get tripped up the next time.
Yeah, I'm smiling because conditioning said, well, maybe.
Right. Yeah. And we can smile back and say, that's right, well, maybe. And if it happens again, well, it'll just be another chance for me to have this experience and realize once again what I know to be so. Good.
And in that place of joy, it really is a lot of fun.
It really is. It is because we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what makes it so much fun. We're here. We're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So why let conditioned mind try to determine constantly what's wrong? Why not just be alive? If we're going to assume anything, let's assume that being alive is our greatest opportunity.
Mm. Mm. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
All right. Yes.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. Sure, it sure seems like that process of knowing could easily come under the category of conditioning, having a conversation with conditioning, and yet it doesn't feel that way.
That's right.
I think like Karen was pointing to, it feels different than that. It feels like it really is possible to know something And but unless we really slow down to look at it like we do, then we're not going to see that it's just conditioning supporting itself, a closed loop, basically.
Yes, and the main thing we don't get to see if we're not slowing down and paying close attention is that the reason it seems so, the reason it feels that way, is mm-hmm. that I'm identified with it.
Yeah.
It's not that there's an ego talking to an ego, you know, out there somewhere. I've identified with that ego. And
yeah.
So what's not available is the conscious, compassionate awareness that contains all of that ego-conditioned mind stuff going back and forth. We slow down. We come back to the breath. We turn our attention to this here now, and we're no longer identified with that back and forth conversation, and we can see it for what it is.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's
and the thing that's, that is, to me, that is so great, Chris, about our practice is that we can follow those steps and prove it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we, it's like if a person is going to, this person, not me, is going to cook a complex dish, the cook will usually get a recipe and put the recipe out there and then follow it step by step, because that's our best chance of having the experience we hope to have with that dish. And we can do the same thing with what we're talking about here. We just write down those steps, okay? So believing that what I believe is true, okay? I'm going to see how that happens. Well, I realize that there's a conversation going on in my head about whatever it is, making a case for it, going over it, you know, finding the proofs that, well, what about this? And that happens, you know, that does happen, okay? So I'm watching that, and I realize, yeah, I agree. I think that's a good argument. That's really true. Okay, the next thing on it is, if I think that what's going on in my head is true, then I'm actually identified with ego. I'm part of that conversation. Okay, next step. Stop, turn the attention to the breath, breathe, keep the attention here. Now, look at what just was happening. Are you still a part of it, or are you seeing it as something other than your experience now? There's the recipe.
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, very helpful to have the recipe. We can just follow it right along and see what happens.
Yes. Yes, and if it's a really good dish that we're cooking, we want to get comfortable with it so that we can repeat it whenever we choose, right? Because we don't want it
to
be
the
same.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in the beginning, of course, it's laborious, right? 1/4 teaspoon,
right?
And then after a while, we get the hang of it, right? So, okay, I sort of have a feeling that what comes next is adding the huh-huh, okay? But I'm still going to check the recipe because I can get distracted, right? And if I get distracted, I'm going to leave out a step, right? And then after a while, it becomes so much a part of things that as long as I'm present, as long as I'm paying attention, I can refer to that now internalized recipe.
Yeah, as you say, it's been integrated into practice, and so That kind of integration just arises spontaneously at some point.
Yes.
It'll bring
the intelligence animating us, yes, will remind us.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Let's check in with our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. One thing that I noticed about the assignment yesterday was once I start paying attention how many beliefs there are in there.
How we can just go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, to, they just go on and on, don't they?
Right. Well, something would drop. Because I was at work most of the day, and so a belief would drop in. And then from the time I would get from my desk to the bathroom to record about it, I would have had about another, I would have seen about another 5, you know, and it was like, well, which one do I start with?
And then we're doomed to just go to process, right? Which is, wow.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm here and see one belief, they just start piling on in. And, of course, what we know is they always are. It's just now I'm aware of them.
Right. And then it sort of, it was like, okay, maybe instead of just recording about each 5 and whether I know, it's like, maybe I just need to, maybe I can just blanket assume, yeah, I probably don't know about any of them. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it was funny. I had another experience of it this morning because I thought about, oh, I should add myself to the queue. And it was like, no, you can't do that. You didn't, there was a, you were supposed to record at the end of the evening. You didn't do that. You don't have anything to talk about. And
you didn't
and then
follow
I
the
looked
rules.
At the, I didn't follow the rules. And then I looked at the assignment and I wasn't supposed to have done that. That was not part of the assignment.
Oh, that wasn't
was
even
like...
true.
Yeah.
Oh. Talk about a lying liar.
Yeah. But it is interesting because what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing this morning was I was there's kind of been a duality that's been going on for me that and I was just because I you know now that I sort of have been looking through this belief lens I was sort of thinking about like oh where are the beliefs there and for that one I really got a like oh no but that's really true that really that's like because it's something that
that's not a belief
that's what.
That's not a belief. That's
yeah,
really
that's
true.
Not a belief. That's
yeah.
That's fact. That's just absolutely
that's
what's going
fact.
To happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful to be able to sort of bring. I feel like I'm still, you know, it's like helpful to have be able to bring that content into this process of. Do I
yes.
really know what things are going to be like? Do I really know? You know. Is it really irrevocable what? And terrible and all, you know, all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. A little story from my own life that I think fits with this. So I went somewhere the other day, and I was asking somebody about something, you know, about how something worked. And it became obvious. Now, I think of myself as a very fit and vibrant human being, right? And inside me, I'm probably somewhere between 40 and 50, okay? Because, you know, I don't have all the strength and resilience that I had at 20, and still nothing seems to have changed very much in the decades since then. But it became clear to me that this person I was interacting with, who is probably somewhere in her 30s, perceived me as doddering. And I you know, it, I mean, it just struck me that, wow, no, I don't want to sit down. No, I don't need, you know, no, I'm fine. And I'm starting to look at her and thinking, you know, I bet there are a lot of ways I'm more fit than you are. And what I got out of that was that I have now moved into a place where I am in solidarity with a lot of other folks, okay? Folks who are looked at as a thing, okay? Mm. As a color of your skin or as a how, you know, what you do for a living or your age. And you're not a person. You're a part of a... You're a part of a, what, type, or you're a, okay? So you don't, now, I think it's probably true that in many, many cases, people don't really see anybody. But in this particular situation, it was very obvious that I, as the way I perceived myself, was in no way available to this person. And to connect it up with what you're talking about, Laura, those kinds of beliefs are what I think create reality for folks. So the perception is, now you're young and vibrant now, but going forward, this is what's going to happen to you. This is how you will be. This is what you need to be afraid of. This is what you need to avoid. These are the facts of life that if you don't face them, you're going to suffer over. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so because people believe these things are facts, they live them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were a less whatever kind of personality you would want to describe me as, that would really impact my self-esteem or my perception of myself. You know, there could be a, oh, well, that's really true. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be. But instead, of course, what it does is just cause me to redouble my attention to not giving into a single belief about how something is, how it's going to be, and the inevitability of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in my context, like how you're going to feel, and I'm sure that it will remind me over and over again how I am supposed to be feeling bad, you know, in that situation.
Yes. Yes. And I would suggest that, or project that before you started practice, most of the time you bought into that, and you did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you were talking, I kind of got this sense of, like, you know, when you're, like, looking at, like, a 2D thing, and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, it's 3D instead. Like, this, it's, like, just the possibilities are so much bigger than conditioning would like us to see.
Exactly. And we can see in that how, with those beliefs and assumptions that are going on all day, the effort is to make your life smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Not more present, right? So it's not a mindfulness exercise it has us into. It's a have your world be so small that it can be completely controlled by the conversation in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the stakes are really high with this.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to go in that direction. As we grow, as we spend more days here, and we hope those are growthful days, we want our lives to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, more expansive, more expansive, more expansive, which is exactly the opposite of what the facts are that people are given and meant to believe.
Yeah, and it feels like it really follows from the earlier assignments looking at, like, I don't know, the phrase that I keep thinking about is, like, I want everything to happen, you know? I'm not avoiding, I'm not...
Yes.
I want to see everything.
Yes.
I want...
Yeah. I want to go through, and I want to go through everything. I don't want to miss a single thing because I want my life to be as expansive as it can be, and I want every day to be less, for there to be less of a me that is going to inhibit that expansiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can hear the me screaming like, no, I don't want to. But,
right.
But with practice, I know that that's not actually me.
That's right. The me is screaming, and I know it's not me. That's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Thank
All
you
right.
so
Bye
much.
Bye.
Thanks, Laura. Boy, Sherry, it sure seems that if we allow conditioning to make up the facts and let it having it ask us to face those facts, that really it's asking us to move to a place of resignation, just to recognize that as the world is, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're really stuck here with me forever, and this is how it's going to be, and that's that. So.
That's right. And by the way, why are you depressed? You have nothing to be depressed about. I've given you a great life.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. There we have it.
You know, and it seems like, we talk about conditioning often assuming the voice of God. And for those of us that may not have that kind of upbringing, facts are that kind of serve that same role. They're kind of gods in some way. And,
You
know, that you
the,
can't
and ultimate
those.
Authority.
Ultimate authority, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Because there's that element of we're afraid not to listen to those voices, afraid not to believe that. A lot of superstition that goes right hand in hand with conditioning, or that conditioning uses to great effect.
Yeah, to keep us in place. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
keep us in suffering.
So as Laura was saying, you know, the voice says, "Well, you know, you're going to feel such and such," and then it makes sure that we do. So after a while, all it has to do is kind of raise an eyebrow. And we hop into line because it's right. If I'm going to feel bad.
Yep. And then that proves the whole scene, basically. If we go for that, it just proves the whole scene. And
that's right. Yeah. And it seems as if that system in our head knows the future.
Uh-huh.
It seems that way because we so consistently live out the future it predicts.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, that's a great picture of what we're up against, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have time for somebody else, or are we two up against the clock?
No, I think we're probably close enough. We ought to move on, Sherry.
Okay.
And so here's our quote and assignment for today.
All right.
The message you need is always right where you are. Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm.
Today, look around. What's the message? Every time you remember to ask yourself this question, turn on the recorder and record the message that life is giving you. Record your experience of being life's recording device. This is another opportunity to listen closely enough to tune into the mentoring voice of center rather than the negative voices of ego.
Wow. That is good, isn't it? That brings in so many elements that are important. Wow. Get out our magic markers and start writing on our hands, huh?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, and I really do appreciate the hearing the quotes and the experience that comes along with that. How it seems there that as the quote is read, there is a sense like I can sense the truth that's there, but I'm not yet experiencing it or seeing it from the perspective that it's being offered, and it feels like it's a koan in that place. And I'm just waiting for the proof to drop in, and like you say, writing on the hand is a perfect way to continue to establish that intention to be open to seeing from the perspective that the quote is coming from.
Yeah, yeah, and it's wonderful when you say that, Chris. We can even know, kind of in quotes, what the answer is, but it's having that experience. It's that intuitive sensing that we're going for. When there's that, oh, yes, following the clarity.
Exactly. Yeah, no further words required in that place.
Yes. Yeah, yep. We just smile, and we know we don't know a darn thing.
Yeah. And on to the next moment.
Yeah. All right. Oh, it's the weekend.
It is. Today's Friday, so we'll have practice focuses coming out on Saturday and Sunday as well, and an opportunity on Monday to look at all of those.
Yeah, that's so exciting. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you too, Sherry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Till the next. Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.